The music that you just heard is from a Netflix original limited series called Sex Education. It's an 8-episode series, so it's perfect for a sort of weekend binge. You could get it done, you know, in about 2 or 3 sittings. So if you started it on a Friday, you could end it on a Sunday, and it, you know, you could sort of just divvy up those episodes as you see fit. It's a really good sort of length, and every so often Netflix does bring out this kind of show where it's quite, you know, it's only got about 8 episodes of around the sort of, you know, 50-minute mark or something like that. And I think those are really, really great and can do really well because of the fact that it could be like a weekend binge. So the song that you just heard is the sort of vibe that this show sort of goes for, in the sense that it's quite 80s inspired. There's a lot of, you know, that's it sort of stems from like the fashion is very 80s inspired, the music, obviously. It's very colourful and it's set in Britain, but it's very, you know, very summery. It's a very summery vibe, very happy, just in its colour palette. And obviously it's not sunny in it's not always sunny in Britain, which is the, you know, the knockoff of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia that hasn't been made yet, but should. I encourage it. It could be set in like Ireland possibly and be like, you know, like in another Paris. But anyway, I'm going off track. I'm going to basically be talking about this fantastic show, which I did not know was going to be coming out or anything like that. I missed it on like any previews of, you know, the month that I looked at, where I get my, you know, my dates from. So that can be kind of organized with Netflix, because it's not always the easiest place to find new things and recently added things. So what happened was, I was just going on to Netflix and I thought, you know, maybe something comes on because it was a Friday. And I thought, oh, you know, maybe something will come on that's new. You know, I try and be surprised from time to time and just go into Netflix with just no idea what I'm going to watch and just end up watching something that's brand new. And I watched the trailer. I don't even think I watched all of the trailer. I was so excited to watch it. I probably watched, you know, enough of it. And then, because I didn't want to spoil too much of it for myself. And I just delved in. Completely, completely excited about this show. I really feel like it's got a massive broad appeal. Massive broad appeal in terms of just like, I think any age group could watch it. Obviously, you know, above like 15, but that could go all the way up to, you know, decades and decades up sort of thing. It's also got a massive appeal. What I feel could have a massive appeal towards just different countries and different audiences, because although it's set in Britain, it's very Americanized. It's set in a sort of sixth form, which if you're in another country that's not the UK, is basically where you're between the age of sort of, you know, 15, 16, 17, 18, that sort of age. And basically, it's there's lockers everywhere. The creators of the show have said that they're very inspired by the shows that they watch growing up and the films that they watch growing up. So things like Breakfast Club, you know, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And also something that kind of vibes that I'm picking up from it are very much like Skins, which obviously isn't an 80s show or anything like that. But just from the sort of teen angst perspective and the sort of real issues that it faces. Skins explores a lot of like issues to do with like sex and teenagers and things like that. This does it in a lot more of a humorous way. I know Skins has elements of humor in it, but this is more humorous. But it also has those, you know, sadder, you know, more emotional moments in it like Skins does. I'd say it's just more of a heightened version of Skins, which is probably hard to imagine, because Skins is quite heightened and, you know, you sort of have to suspend your disbelief quite a lot. But it is, it feels bolder in a way. It doesn't feel too groundbreaking, but it just feels more, you know, like the base has been boosted. That's a good way to describe it. The performance from Asa Butterfield, like I've only seen him probably in Hugo and Ender's Game, like I introduced them earlier. And but they're not really humorous roles. Like Hugo has elements of it because it's a family film, but it's his performance in this is really great. Like one of my friends was telling me that they just don't imagine him in that type of role, and I completely agree. I didn't imagine him in this type of role. I was shocked to see him in it, because obviously I've seen him in like trailers for like small indie films and things like that. But it really it, he really is like great in it. He's a revelation. He's like it's great to see sort of actors that you don't expect to be in comedic roles just own them and be so good. And the relationship and the chemistry that he has with his mum, played by Gillian Anderson, is just it's so believable. It's so real. Gillian Anderson's character is imagine Gaylord's mum from Meet the Fockers, sort of a Barbara Streisand-y sex education, sex therapist type person. She runs classes in the house sometimes, very much like, Mrs. Focker does, but also does like the sort of, one-on-one therapy sessions as well. And there's this obvious friction as between the mother and son, because the son's obviously going through like all the sort of, first time sexual feelings, and his mum's trying to like therapize him and, talk to him just like she would with a patient. And it, humor can come from that, but also a lot of friction and tension and dramatic moments. So that's really good. Something certainly all the Brits have been picking up from, like, the, online, is that it's very Americanized. And that comes from, like, as I say, from the fact that the creators of the show, the writers, the team behind the show, are very inspired by those sort of iconic John Hughes 80s films, and just those sort of teen films in general from the 80s. It's got a very nostalgic vibe about it. Even like hints of the 70s in there as well. And the lead character, Asa Butterfield's character, has vinyls all in his room, like just shelves and shelves of vinyls. It's kind of contemporary, but it does include like technology, so people have phones and laptops, just kind of like Riverdale does nowadays, which is kind of the other kind of vibe I picked up from it. It's kind of a hybrid of Skins and Riverdale. Riverdale's, but in the sense that Riverdale's very over the top and exaggerated, and can be dark and dramatic, but that is classic Americana in that show, like the Letterman jackets. That's in Sex Education as well, and like the just how hyped people get over sport, which isn't really too much of a British thing in terms of the school systems. It's more of like high-profile Premier League football that people get excited about in Britain, rather than the high school or sixth form or college type sports. So yeah, it's very Americanized, but I like the fact that it's got its own character, this show, and it's just set in a world that has been created, rather than being too concerned about being real in terms of everything. It's real in a lot of ways, in the important ways, in the sense that I feel like it's going to be a really good thing for people to watch if they're in the age range that the characters are portraying. It's not ultra real in a ton of ways, probably most ways, but the characters are very real. They're exaggerated in some respects, but that's for entertainment. But the root of the characters, like the heart of the characters, is very real and believable, and you can empathize with these people. And I became gripped with these characters probably at the earliest point I could. Like in the first episode, I was completely believing these characters, and everything else was just entertaining and welcome. It just feels like a really refreshing show. Like, it's got such a bold character, such a feel-good vibe, but such a real and dramatic vibe at the same time. It's not straight comedy, it's not straight drama, it's a hybrid. It crosses it over continuously. It keeps you on your feet. I didn't really feel like I knew too much about what was going to happen. And when I did predict something that was going to happen and it happened, it didn't feel like a letdown. It felt satisfying. And there's a ton of different characters in this show. Like, you're not just, it's not just straight people talking about sex. You've got all sort of different representation here. And that's really important, especially in today's sort of climate, on TV and film, to just have a broad, like, real outlook on life, because that's what life is. So it makes sense, really, more than anything. It's not really something to be celebrated too much, in my opinion. It's just good that it's happening finally, and that it's and things like this keep getting made. I really hope that it gets picked up for a second season, and it becomes the success that I think it should be. It deserves to be a success. People refer to things like this probably as like a sleeper hit, because it's not something that would necessarily do well, but just the quality of it is so, you know, easy to see, and it's a show that I feel like a lot of people will appreciate if they give it a chance. So and I forgot to mention the premise of the show. So basically, Asa Butterfield plays, as I said, the son of a sex therapist who's played by Julian Anderson, and all the kids at his school, or quite a lot of the kids at his school, have their own sort of sex issues, which is quite a funny, you know, notion as it is, that because normally it's like adults who go to sex therapists, but it sort of breaks that taboo a little, and Asa Butterfield becomes his mother in a way, and at school in the toilets he runs like these sort of like sessions where the kids at his school go and talk to him about their sexual problems. So the humor can come from that as well. It's not like a serial type of situation where like in each episode it's someone coming to him. It doesn't always happen, but it does certainly follow that pattern for a lot of the time, where someone will come to him, and then the you know, they're kind of like a loose or strong thread in each episode where he'll like help them, you know, reach their resolution in their story, resolve their problems. And yeah, I just really want to recommend this like very strongly. Netflix is very, you know, it's very tough, you know, like it's a jungle, Netflix, like it's a very tough place to survive in for a show and a film. Like, you know, Daredevil got cancelled and Luke Cage, which is just madness to me, and I really hope that the petitions that have been going around actually, you know, equal change and equal them being, you know, picked up again, or whatever the more, you know, official term of that is. But anyway, I just really hope that this show does well, and it deserves all the success. And yeah, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please do all the good stuff, like share, follow and subscribe on whatever platform you listen to me on. I'm on things like TuneIn Radio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. If you've got one of those apps that sort of amalgamate all of the different services together, you can just, whatever it is that you listen to me on, you can search at TMFTS Podcast and subscribe on whatever thing you listen to me on. And thank you very much for listening. This marks the 11th episode and the 3-week point, as in I've been going for 3 weeks. So 11 episodes in 3 weeks is very good going, in my opinion. I've been churning them out and committing to doing this podcast. Like I said, I would. It's kind of my New Year's resolution to do this, even though I started it at the end of 2018. And yeah, thank you very much for listening. 200 listens and counting, over 200 listens by this point. And yeah, and counting. Thank you very much again for listening to me ramble on about things. I just want to recommend things and tell you what's good about the things that I like. It's been too much for 10 seconds. I've been Tom, and this has been a spontaneous way for me to end this episode, because like it sounds really cheesy and kind of Americanized, which I suppose is fitting in a way because I'm talking about the show. But anyway, bye. Cheers. So I released the sex education episode quite a while ago now. It's now the 1st of February, and there's been some massive news. And the massive news is that there's going to be a season 2 of Sex Education, which I completely expected because it's just been so popular. But you never know with Netflix. Sometimes a show can be super popular and really good, and it just doesn't, for whatever reason, get another series. Like things like Girl Boss, for example. That was a really, really good show, really funny, and it just didn't get another series. But then there's other shows that are really good and get, you know, more seasons. But I'm so glad that Sex Education will be getting a series too. So yeah, I just thought I'd tag that on to the end of this episode. And I hope you go and check out my other episodes. I've got a bunch of different things. I do Netflix previews for Netflix originals for each month. I do cinema previews for each month. I do sort of just reviews, but they're basically just me saying what I liked about films. I've got all kinds of things. So thank you for supporting me and for listening to this episode, and I hope you go and check out other ones. Cheers very much. Bye.